offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or visit our website rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
You're listening to Southside Broadcasting, and it's time for another award-winning edition of On Your Bike with the one and only Tony McDonough!
Yay! I sense we should actually have thousands of voices across Teesside and Sheffield, sort of jumping with joy, Tony.
Mix of applause and boos, yes.
Oh, it's another On Your Bike special, and we have got a fabulous individual with us from the Planet X Northside Cycling Team, or is it Planet 10?
No, it's Planet X, yeah.
It is Planet X. It's Jack Rees. Yay! Tony, would you like to formally introduce Jack in terms of the legend that he already is in terms of cycling with respect to Planet X?
The local cycling community, yeah, I'll view him as a legend, without a doubt, yes, because I've been looking at inviting Jack on the show for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. The reason being is because Jack is responsible for the premier team in the area. And what he's set up from nothing to competing at a national level and an international level, I think needs some plaudits. And so we're hoping to give Jack the platform today to tell it all about the team, the season ahead.
Also coming up on the production, we've got the wonderful Gary Civils, who we thought was already here from Manila Cycling, but he's put the phone down. It's always a challenge. Maybe it's just the lines has gone from that. It's okay. We'll call him back. Shall we try and actually reach him now and see if he actually picks up? Live. I mean, presumably he won't utter any obscenities.
Don't fall out with Gary because he's a cage fighter.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because obviously it's always important to actually know what's happening, when and how, and all the rest of the sort of bits and pieces. So here we are. Well, at least it's ringing, so that's all good. The headphones get set on from that. Gary, hi. For a moment got momentarily cut up, but welcome to the On Your Bike podcast. In the studio, we've done the introductions. We have obviously Tony McDonough, the genius, and of course Jack the legend Rees from Planet 10 Northside.
Planet X.
You know, I was convinced it's Planet X all the way from that point of view. It's that X factor, clearly, and of course extra sort of a routine from that perspective. But Gary, from your own perspective, Manila Cycling, it does seem to go from strength to strength. Admittedly, it's not quite in Planet X's league as yet, but how did you get involved with Manila Cycling?
A few long-term friends I've had were racing with him and had raced with Tony previously. When they were putting the team back together, I was fairly new to cycling, and they'd said to me, why don't you get yourself along, do some training with us. Tony was looking for some new riders, and just went from there, really.
Makes perfect sense. And Tony's also said you have another sporting interest, which is quite interesting, because there can't be many cyclists who are also cage fighters at the same time.
No. That's been knocked on the head temporarily at the minute. I haven't done it. I've got a 2.5-year-old daughter. I haven't done it since she was born, during not having the time to train. But whether I'll pick that back up or not, I haven't decided.
Well, you're the second sort of cage fighter that we've sort of encountered. The other one, of course, being the son of Lou Bevin, who's based actually in, I think, the Doncaster region, but still.
Oh, right.
That's another line entirely. Tony, clearly putting together Jack Rees and Gary Civils on the same show, you might sort of think it's just, you know, it's treat upon treat, effectively. How I mean, from your management point of view, how do they sort of both relate together? I mean, obviously, Planet X has developed in all sorts of ways. So that point of view, we're going to talk about national targets and a whole heap of other sort of systems, etc. Is this where Manila cycling might well be developing to or aiming for?
No, our targets are more of a regional level, and because Jack has and his work to put the infrastructure behind that you need to perform on a European international basis. And it's a good example. I think Will, we're going to talk to later. The two riders, Gary and Will, are good examples of where the two teams are at. Where Gary's targets, I think it'd be first to admit, is more sort of regional targets. I'm guessing Will's targets are going to be more sort of national based, and that reflects the two teams.
I mean, looking at some of the things that Planet X Northside have actually put together, over 60 wins. That's not a bad record.
No, I mean, we had a really successful season. Actually, we've as Tony alluded to, we've really just made small increments and progressions every year, really, over the last 5 years. So it's by definitely not a one-off. It's sort of been a work in progress over the past 5 years.
If we look at the sort of the figures here, you've moved from 33rd in the British cycling team rankings back in 2013, up to 12th in 2015. Now you're fifth.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we're really happy with. I think people are aware that obviously the system has limitations that we're working with the rankings and things, but you can only sort of compete to the system that whether you're in. So looking from a sponsorship perspective, if you can outline that we have made that improvement and it's clear, it's tangible and people can see that, that means that it's quite attractive to sort of invest in us, and that's what we base a lot of our sort of advertisement and securing sponsors with, really.
Absolutely. Gary, have you ever sort of encountered Jack in either a competitive nature or a spectator nature?
I don't think so, no.
Right. Yeah. It could be interesting to align with him from that.
Get sick of seeing him by September.
could work out on that basis. I mean, Jack, from your own career, from that point of view, is it a case of you look at, obviously, the Olympians and the rest of that, you think, yeah, that's where we're going to be sort of heading from? Is it just a case of constant progression? Because, as I say, I mean, what we've just described is a heck of a sort of setup from that point of view. Plus, of course, in terms of names, you had a win at the Billy Warnock Memorial Race, the Northeast Divisional Championships, and, of course, you completed the season, this was the interesting one, a tour of Poyang Lake in China, cycling to China. Do you not know how many my bicycles there are in Beijing? Sorry, it's Katie Mellier line. But I mean, what was that like in terms of the experience?
Yeah, it was a massive experience. I mean, it was a bit of a surprise that we secured an invitation for the race. It was a 10-day race. It was quite demanding, especially at the end of the season. But primarily, the main objective really is for the team is to provide these international opportunities for our young riders, to provide a platform for them to sort of progress to a level where they can make it a profession. I don't think we'll ever get to that point because structurally, you know, you're looking at huge budgets and things like that. But if we can continue to make small improvements every year and then give these young riders a platform to sort of jump into a continental team or a pro-continental team and compete on the continent, and then that'll be a success for us, really.
Gary, have you ever intended or had any thoughts about taking part in the Hong Kong Cyclothon?
I won't go that far, no. I did a bit of a biking challenge myself abroad last year. That was enough for me. Never mind 10 days like that.
It obviously proves the internationalism of the whole sort of sequence. And how did you find the Chinese in comparison? Because, I mean, obviously we talked about the cliche that they do have a lot of bikes, but, I mean, in terms of competitive riding, are they, you know, pretty much top of the field? What's the sort of feeling over there?
There's a lot of Asian teams, not necessarily Chinese riders, but Asian riders, Malaysians, very strong. Obviously it was quite out the way, really, compared to like your main city, so culturally it was quite different to anything we've encountered in Europe before. So I think that was it was as much as that as it was about the bike racing as well, really.
Gary, back to Manila cycling, were you part of this presentation video that was put together last month?
I'm not, no, I wasn't.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
Tony, did you manage to sort of say, don't worry, we'll get him on your bike instead?
We spoke to Gary's people, but he was unavailable for the video shoot, yes.
It was during getting married, I wasn't allowed there.
Well, that makes sense from that point of view. I mean, Tony, I mean...
You should question Gary on his wedding, actually, because he's become a bit of a local celeb because of the day he organised and a specific dance routine that he did.
All right then, Mr. Civils, talk to us about this specific dance routine at the Civils' wedding.
bit of a surprise for the missus. After the first dance, me and my groomsmen, best men and all that had put together this dance that's gone a bit viral on the internet. It was... she knew nothing about it. I've been sneaking out the house every Monday night for 3.5 months and got away with it.
And I presume from what you've said, actually, this is properly trained as opposed to Dad dancing or the Ricky Gervais office number.
Yeah. My mum's best friend's a dance teacher, so... There you go.
Well, you see, dancing, cycling and cage fighting, there's got to be a kind of triangle.
It's
extraordinary. Jack, have you any sort of points of advice or suggestions for Gary? As obviously he's cycling sort of ace things. I mean, what would your suggestions be? Because as Tony said, you got Manila. I mean, in terms of league structure, would you say that Manila Cycling might be the Lincoln City to Planet 10?
In a football analogy, Manila is Sheffield Wednesday. Jack is Manchester City.
Nice choice. Very nice choice there. Excellent. So I mean, from that point of view, as I say, Jack, any thoughts for Gary about sort of approaches and ways forward?
No, it's probably stuff he's already aware of, really. I think the good thing about cycling is it's a sport that rewards hard work, and you can be naturally talented at football and rock up on the weekend on a Saturday and play a match and make the game, but in cycling it doesn't work quite like that. You have to put the hard work in, the background work and the training, and to compete well at any level. And I think obviously Gary and Tony are well aware of that, and that's just a key piece of advice that I'd give any beginner that want to get involved. It's consistency is key. You need to be getting out most days and putting that groundwork in, otherwise you won't be able to compete to the level you want to do.
Or you'll kill yourself. So you've got to prepare. It's all in the preparation and the mindset. And speaking of the mindset, I mean, Gary, from your own sort of cycling experience, do you go into a kind of a zone when you are actually cycling? Do you kind of go into a sort of mantra? Is it something that kind of obviously it is completely different from your other sporting activities, but what was it that appealed about cycling from your own point of view?
Originally, thought about triathlons was the first was my first line, because one of my good friends who races for Manila, he's really good at triathlons, James. So I was starting to train down that route, and then found that I was enjoying the cycling probably most of all three of the activities on there, and got training with Adam Brooks, and then got into the cycling that way. But I found that especially when I'm racing, I don't know if it's from the MMA background, but I'm somebody who does something. I'm there to win. I don't do anything to take part. I've never ever been like that. I'm there to win. And it is, once the race is on, I do find myself in the same sort of mindset that I was in doing the MMA, although something totally different. The outcome's got to be the same. You know, you're there to win, and training's obviously a bit different. But once I'm racing, yeah, the mindset's... find that I've got quite a strong mindset when it comes to racing, but it's just improving the ability now.
Tony, would you agree with that sort of line of things? I mean, obviously, you can't get into your team's heads, so to speak, but...
Wish I could with some of them, yes. I would agree with Gary's stance on the mindset, because Gary's not done much training because he's been preparing for his wedding. So he's had to spend a lot of time doing that, and that's fine. But he raced on last Saturday and performed exceptionally well for a guy who'd not been able to do regular training. And that's probably due to his mindset.
There we are, you see, Gary, it's all in the mind. Gary, any questions you'd like to put to Jack about Planet X, or anything really, China, the Billy Warnock Memorial Race, or indeed other factors?
I've spoken to our guys quite a bit, so I don't really think there's that much out there that I know what I've got to do. It's just a case of doing it, if you know what I mean.
That makes perfect sense, really. Yeah, just get on with that whole sort of sequence. I know it's a bit like saying that if you carry that analogy, you're not going to get Sheffield Wednesday. So I say, so how do you do that then? You know, it's the whole thing. It's kind of sharing.
Spend £80 million.
It's true. You know, that's the budget drop then, Tony. So this has been fantastic touching base with yourself. We're going to be continuing with the magic of Planet X Northside. Let's give it its full title. I mean, is it Planet X Northside?
That's it, yeah.
see Planet X North Side on South Side. Definite line there.
There's a synergy.
Yeah. It's genius. Gary, it's been splendid touching base with good self, and you get the treat of actually sort of exiting the show with music from the fabulous brand of Manila. And indeed, Tony, would you like to introduce the classical musical number? Well, I say it's classical. It's not really classical, but it is a good cycling number, I feel. I mean, it came from when I first heard it, I thought, this sounds vaguely kind of late 1970s, 1980s sort of punkish movement, really.
Yes, it does have that sort of feel about it, and it's actually some music that's it's been used on a team presentation and the video that you talked about earlier. Quite a quiet beginning, but built into something special. It's a London-based act called Officer.
The great thing about Manila PR and, of course, Tony McDonough's interconnection with Manila PR is we can feature the music, of course, in full on the podcast. We don't have to sort of do it. It's joyous. You can work our way through that and get into the zone and so on. Available to purchase, presumably, by the usual channels?
Yes, all out on that now, and from his album called Myriads, which is exceptional album, really exceptional album.
And that's Officer and the Waters.
Yes.
Marvellous. So online now, the Planet X Northside takeover continues. In fact, technically we're now outnumbered, Tony, because not only have we got
we're in
studio,
the minority, yes.
Jack Rees online. We've got Will Brown. How are you, Will?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
Oh, we're splendid. Just sort of really savouring the fantastic sort of sequence of success that Planet X has actually been providing with us. Got to ask the question, though, what was the Hong Kong cyclothon like?
Oh, it was a pretty serious event and a big party weekend, really. Great, massive crowds and great racing.
You see, I'd have been tempted to do a Hong Kong Fooey impersonation. But mild-mannered Janitor Henry would have been lost on that basis. Jack, you're probably too young to remember Hong Kong Fooey.
So, yeah.
But yeah, it's
and that we are showing his age there. Yes.
Look it up on YouTube.
It's a classic.
Exactly. Will, let's talk about Planet X Northside. As we've said, if you're looking in footballing terms, if Manila Cycling is Sheffield Wednesday, then Planet X Northside will be probably soon to be Middlesbrough, but then Manchester City as well from that point of view in the Premier League. Was it a thrill when you were taken on the team?
It was. I'd sort of floated about for a few years at a slightly lower level and dabbled in some of the bigger racing, and then I had an offer off Jack to come and ride with the team, and it was just fantastic to come in and move into somewhere that was so well organised and had a fantastic race programme and taken us all over the world as such, and racing Belgium and places as such, and the best races in the UK, so couldn't ask for a better chance, really.
So there we are, Jack, another satisfied sort of customer in all sorts of ways, so it's a great stuff there. I mean, Jack, when you were sort of having a look at, I mean, what do you look for in somebody that you'd sort of say, yeah, we'd like to have so-and-so on the team?
Yeah, I mean, with Will, it's a little bit different because he actually works full-time. He won't tell you this, but what he does, he's a full-time joiner, so he really does well to balance both of his sort of major commitments in his life. So Will focuses a lot on the town centre criterium racing, which is a really big thing in the UK. So it's an hour-based racing, and it's very furious. It's around like a town centre, very tricky, technical, different terrain. It's very cut and thrust, and Will bases his season on that. So he's got a very specific talent in doing that.
And just to ensure that everybody is actually happy and don't feel, you did the podcast all actually as well as Will, of course, there's Dan Bigham, Martin Ford, Ben Hetherington, Tim Holm, and Alex Lurs.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few more additions to that too. This year we've got 14 riders, and like I say, Will and a couple of the others have ambitions in the criteriums, or we have some other riders that focus more on the tours and multiple stage events, so we've got a good balance all round, really, of riders that can focus on a range of different racing.
A lot of people are saying that the 2012 Olympic scenario helped tremendously. Obviously, we've got Rio de Janeiro this upcoming year that's sort of happening. Do you find that there is getting to be more and more of a passion for cycling in both spectating and obviously taking part?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a testament to Tour of Yorkshire that we have within this area. There's a stage
starts in Middlesbrough, I know.
Yeah. And it went over sort of the North Yorkshire moves this year, and it got a really good spectators and things like that. I think Bradley Wiggins, Chris Froome, people like that just made it more accessible and more awareness to what the sport involved, really. So I think it's only a good thing, yeah.
And Tony, changing the gender slightly, how's Team Manila's female team coming on?
Brilliant. They made their debut last weekend. As top finisher was Hannah Farren. Nicky Metcalf was in seventh, and the season ahead for them is about sort of spreading the word about the women's team, performing as many races as they can, obviously doing as well as they can. We've noticed a big interest in women's cycling and the amount of women getting involved, and it's great to see. We've got like a really promising young rider called Alana Pryor, who's competing in the National Cycle Centre most Friday nights for the next month. And we're really optimistic about some riders, but it's as much about spreading the word about that we have a women's team.
Well, it's a classic line I need to actually ask you from the point of view of if a Manila Cycling went head to head with Planet X Northside, do you think it would be a walkover for Planet X Northside? What would be your feeling, Will? Would it be a case of, well, we don't have to try with that, or would you say, well, let's focus, you know, let's give them respect?
Oh, well, I wouldn't like to say it was a walkover. It does. We've seen they have some incredibly talented riders. Just think, obviously, we're racing at a slightly higher level than they are currently, which gives us the edge, fractionally, but I wouldn't like to say in a few years' time that they won't be at the same level, if not better, really.
We will go head-to-head a lot.
And
we did last weekend, and credit to Jack's team. Richie Allen won the race. I think Jack was second in that race, and they had a bunch of riders in the top 10, and then we occupied the sort of 20th-ish positions, and that is a reflection of where the two teams are at, really.
And Jack, would you echo that? I mean, would you sort of position yourself as being the Arsene Wenger or the I was going to say Jose Mourinho, but that's a bad choice of words from that sort of point of view. And I certainly won't say Steve McLaren for obvious reasons. But would you see yourself as that they are challenging, or do you occasionally sort of think, maybe we can actually poach some of Manila Cycling's talent?
I mean, we have previously, unfortunately, but I mean, I think it's just, like Tony alluded to, we have ambitions. It's like, Tony's very much focused on a regional level, and in Northeast, obviously, with his sponsors and things like that, where our sponsors are a little bit more national now, so we have focuses outside of that. So I think it's not necessarily a head-to-head thing. It's just he has a different goal to us and we have a different goal to him. So,
and looking at some of the key aims of progressing to national level and success at national level and so on, I mean, what over the next sort of year are you kind of, have you got in place to effectively sort of demonstrate how it's going?
Well, obviously, there's an Elite Road Series in the UK, which is, one of our main goals. The national championships are actually in Stockton this year, so that's a massive goal for us. But in order to compete at that level, we need to supplement it with international racing, because the level in the UK overall isn't quite high enough. So we need to supplement the stuff we do in the UK with foreign racing. So that's the way we're going to progress this year, in order to be as competitive as possible at those sort of eight key events that are held within the UK.
You talked about, obviously, China. Europe, is that a regular sort of destination?
Yeah, I mean, we have a training camp in Calpe, which is mainland Spain, in early February for all the team. That progresses into a race in Malaysia in March, and then Morocco in April. So we have got a really broad programme of events. So.
And just briefly for our transatlantic listeners over in Los Angeles, New York, etc., any sort of crossover with the States and so on?
No, I mean, it's difficult. The States have a very niche programme of cycling, and it's difficult to be... It's still very much a European sport in its background and its history. So Africa, Asia are very prominent, but, you know, the United States isn't somewhere that is on our radar currently, and it just doesn't have the racing.
It's interesting, because we were talking with the legend a few years ago about his time over in the States. I think he found a similar sort of experience, really.
Malcolm Elliott, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was it. He said the environment was very different compared to Europe. It was a more relaxed, in a way, than Europe.
Will, have you got any questions you'd like to put to Tony, or indeed Jack? I mean, I know it can be a bit of a challenge, but I like to reverse the whole routine on this basis. So, any thoughts, or indeed observations?
Not as such. It'd be interesting to see where Jack aims the team to be in maybe a year's time or 2 years' time, how much further he wants to progress it, or whether he's happy with the level it's at. If you had any information about that, or ideas?
I get a sense, actually, just in the short time I've known Jack, actually, for the studio, that he's constantly seeking perfection. I don't think you're ever really satisfied, Jack, are you? Which is the mark of a great athlete, obviously.
No, I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's difficult. Maybe wouldn't word it like that, but I think you've got to progress constantly. I think at the moment, because the sport's so difficult and the level's so high, you can't really just rest on it. You've got to continue to try and improve things you do, whether that's in the equipment you choose to use, the race programme, the training that you do, your nutrition, anything like that. So I think it's difficult to set a bar of where we want to get to, really. Just as long as we continue to improve and provide opportunities, then, you know, I'd continue to be happy with what's going on.
Well, we certainly talked about nutrition. I'm sure we will in future editions of On Your Bike, etc. Plus, of course, that other line, which is the whole aspect of the novice bike. Because I can see, Tony, sometimes people sort of are listening to this and thinking, yes, but where do we start? But there is an insight, as you demonstrated with Manila Cycling, that actually you can sort of entry and move on quite so substantially.
Yeah, that was really the starting point of the team, to get people into racing who'd never either not considered it or were just maybe a bit intimidated by it. And that still, we still have that ethos today, where we're more than welcome to riders who want to get into racing.
Will, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self. I can't believe, as I say, the half hour sort of shot by already. I mean, it's just that's 1800 seconds, whoosh, you know, gone completely. When are you next cycling? When's the next competitive thing that you're likely to be sort of involved with, that the listener can go and see you?
I think it's actually going to be my first race. It'll be the part of the Cross Winter Series next Saturday, I think it is. And then after that, we'll be almost into the season in full flight and racing most weekends, if not midweek.
Brilliant. I think that was the Croft Winter Series, wasn't it?
It was,
yeah. Because for a moment I thought, did you say the Croc Winter Series? I thought, surely not. I don't know. No, it's the Croft Winter Series, which is to be found where, Tony?
At the Croft Racing Circuit near Darlington.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes people get very confused about the whole thing. Jack, have you enjoyed your time on the first ever on your bike for your good self?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, really. Yeah, that's been good.
It's been a delight. I've been sort of coughing and spluttering in the back. I don't have to do the unhealthy side of things, really, from the point of view of the health fitness of the cycling from that point of view. Tony, I think another classic from that point of view. Any highlights that you'd like to flag up in terms of other grand events? I'm particularly looking forward to co-hosting and presenting with your good self on February the 18th, a live event.
Yes, exactly. As very own team presentation. It's a sort of...
budget Ant and Deck.
Sort of £5 budget Ant and Deck, yes.
There you go, yeah.
But, yeah, it's this sort of like old meets new. We're going to sort of have a quick nod to the past of the team last couple of years and then... look what we've got planned for the future.
And presumably a screening of the Manila Cycling Team presentation video?
Indeed it is, yes. In all its, the team have seen a slight clip, but they've not seen the full thing. Which
you've got to hold it back, really, can't you? Reveal all.
We're well pleased. I mean, very good.
Look at JJ Abrahams and that Star Wars thing. He says, hold it back.
Really. Yes, we can't. Just wait a month.
Precisely. Patience is a virtue. Will, thank you. Thanks to Gary Civils for joining us early from Manila Cycling, etc. That's it. That's a wrap. We still actually are looking for a final slogan, Will. Now, I mean, I've suggested obviously we could use "On Your Bike." But that might be a sort of a routine. I mean, you know, anything immediately spring to mind as a kind of sort of final rejoining sort of cheer that we can wrap up this podcast with?
Well, I don't know. I think you could probably work on something along the lines of "Enjoy the Ride." Or
hey, that's simple. Yeah, "Enjoy the Ride." Yeah, I think we'll go with that.
We'll go
okay,
with that,
gentlemen.
Yeah.
After three,
it's not royalties though.
Always the agent. Always sorting that whole thing through. Okay, we know the three words, so let's go. A 1, 2, 3, enjoy the ride!
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right,
that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London, You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.